American students still trail the world, particularly in math and science, where American students rank number 36 in the world, according to the most recent study published earlier this week. That's a particularly acute problem for Chattanooga and Hamilton County. But 2 years ago, Hamilton County won a federal grant to begin a STEM, that is, science, technology, engineering, and math, a STEM program at a magnet school on the Chattanooga State campus. So far, the school is just 9th and 10th grade, but within the next 3 years, it will be a full high school, 9th through 12th grade. The objective at the school, which has been conceived as a model that other schools might draw on, is to make math and science exciting.
Where we lose students in STEM is often in the math, and you can see this in the research. You can see where they come in, they want to be a scientist, they want to be an engineer, and the math cripples them, and they pursue a different major.
Tracy Karish is the managing director of the Southeast Tennessee STEM Innovation Hub.
It's not that we have a shortage of people that want to pursue a STEM career. It's that we have a shortage of people that can get through the rigorous coursework that they need to get through in order to get that degree.
But don't you think there's a problem with the way math is taught?
Yes. And so I think that what we try to encourage with STEM and our work here regionally with STEM is that this is not about the content. STEM is not about science, technology, engineering, and math. We use a different acronym. We call it strategies to engage minds. So we want kids to be engaged in learning so that they see the application and they get excited about it. And they're learning math in a way that suits what they need as a student. Some students, for instance, at the elementary school level, really thrive on timed math tests. That is really how they get excited. There's kind of a competitive element there. Unfortunately, there's a large group of kids that hate it, and we tell them at a very young age, you're bad at math because you're bad at these time tests, when in reality, we all know that math is not about being fast. Math is about being diligent and thoughtful and problem-solving and getting it right. So what we want to encourage with STEM is not just we're trying to create a bunch of kids who are going to want to be rocket scientists, and we're going to teach them a bunch of technology courses and science courses. That's what you see at the STEM school. It's a very holistic educational experience. They're taking art. You know, they're obviously taking history and all the English and all the other things they need to take for the state of Tennessee. But it's not just because they have to. It's because that is critically important to their workforce skills. English is not just about writing. It's about standing up in front of people and talking and giving a speech. And we need them to be able to do that in order to be a member of the STEM workforce. It's not just about the content, science, technology, engineering, math. It's about the way kids are learning and the way they're taking ownership of their own learning.
To that end, every one of the 150 students enrolled in the STEM school was given an iPad, and they're encouraged to use it to the limits of its capacity. The kids love it, according to Stacey Karish, but the teachers, most of them have reservations about it.
Teachers need to just embrace the fact that you can take a student that knows how to do something on that device that the teacher doesn't know how to do, and really make them feel good, make them the teacher. And, you know, okay, you're going to show the rest of the class how you got that done. And that is something that's great, not just for the student, but for their peers, that they see one of their other fellow students that's kind of taking on a leadership role and modeling what needs to be done in the classroom.
Can you give me an example of that? What kind of things do they do?
Well, for instance, one of the things that the students use a lot is Edmodo. And Edmodo is kind of like Facebook for education. And it's a place where kids can go online and, you know, teachers will have, they'll post something, information about an assignment. Somebody will have a question and then others can respond to that question. And so what you see on Edmodo consistently is that a student will post a question and then before the teacher even has time to answer it, another student has answered it. And then they're all collaborating around the Edmodo conversation about here's how you approach this problem. And so their peers are becoming their teachers. And also they're starting to get excited about learning outside of the school day because they can have these kind of, you know, ad hoc study groups.
But while many other schools in the city and county also issue laptops and tablets to their students, according to Tracy Karish, it's still largely an untested idea.
There is an initiative right now in a partnership between PEF and Hamilton County and Benwood to put devices in the hands of an entire grade level at different schools. And so we can watch the kids as they learn, watch the teachers as they learn, and create some strong best practices for when we know eventually we will have every kid in Hamilton County using a device for to support the learning process.
When Tracy Karish majored in computer science in the late 1990s, she was one of the few women in the program. But as she sees it, the next generation, males and females, will take computers for granted and will want to use them in the classroom as an aid.
Devices in the classroom also really bring to light what is true in our life now. We don't have to hold a lot of information in our head. It's all in our little device that we're holding in our hand. What we need to be able to do is learn how to use and access and apply the information. And so you're right.
So that's a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a paradigm shift that supports what we're trying to do in education, which is get away from facts and information and get towards problem solving and collaboration. That's what we want kids doing. That's how they're going to be successful. And so I think that what technology in the classroom will do is when we open it up and we know that those kids can get to all the information that we're trying to test them on, it's not – you take away cheating by taking away the fact-finding mission. It's not about finding facts. It's about interpreting and using information. That's – they're not going to find that on their device.
So you grade them on the results?
Right. You grade them on results. You grade them on – what was your thought process in solving this problem versus answer A, B, C, or D?
I mean, it sounds brilliant, Tracy. You've still got the motivation factor that you have to deal with, right? I mean, it sounds as if you're assuming that all these kids are really motivated. Is that true? Are all these children equally motivated?
Well, here's what's really interesting, and we see this in that model of the STEM school. When you're teaching students in this new and different way, they are more motivated. You're giving them ownership of their education. And the magical thing that happens when you give them that ownership is that they don't just say, oh, well, you know, the motivation increases because now they're the one in control more.
But while some people are embracing the idea of grade school children having free access to the internet, parents and teachers worry not only about cheating, but about everything else the net offers inquisitive young minds.
What we need to help teachers and parents do is give them that freedom and let them follow the things that they're excited about, knowing that they will learn the information along the way. Here's what's happening with STEM. So STEM started out as, here's our timeline. We, as a community, we came together and we said, we know that this is an economic development need. We need more STEM students. We need more STEM careers in our local economy. And so we got this grant and we got a great innovative STEM school that is serving the region and showing educators what it can look like. We got a STEM innovation hub that is helping train those teachers and inform the community. But what we learned along the way was it started out being about science, technology, engineering, and math. And now it's really about how are we bringing our entire community together to educate our young people? How are we showing them in the classroom and in work environments and even when they're talking to each other at 11 o'clock at night on Edmodo, what the world is going to look like for them and how they can contribute to it? And so what starts off sounding very scientific, science, technology, engineering, and math, has actually really become very much a community collaborative initiative. How do we all work together to help kids and teachers create a better relationship so that it's not just I sit and listen and you talk at me, but it is I'm innovating, I'm collaborating, I'm problem solving, and I have ownership for my own education.
But while Tracy Karish, a parent herself, acknowledged that concerns about the internet are well-founded, the issue of cheating, she said, is irrelevant when educators embrace this new paradigm.
What we're finding is that if you show kids how it's applied and you let some of the work be done by the computer at first, then they're actually get excited about the results. If you show them calculus before they can really actually do calculus, but you show them what calculus does in the world, then they want to learn calculus. But you can't expect them from the get-go to do every single calculation involved in the problem. So what you can do is you can use computers as a tool to show kids what mathematics or what science is capable of doing. And then the ones that really love it will eventually learn how to do those specific steps required manually to get the answer. But you won't get them excited and engaged about mathematics until you can show them how it applies. That's what really gets them excited. And then you eventually, obviously, you need some people in the world that can actually do the math.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. So you kind of reverse engineer, as it were.
Exactly. There's a lot of brain research around children's and how a child's brain works that talks about why the field trip is better at the beginning of the unit than at the end, for instance. Mm-hmm. You don't learn about the ocean in a book, and then you finally go to the aquarium. Mm-hmm. You go to the aquarium first, and you give the kids context, and you let them understand what they're learning, how it shows up in the world around them. And then you go back to the classroom, and now they have something to apply it to. And it's the same thing with mathematics. If we can show them, look at this, look how the computer uses these mathematical equations to do these amazing things, now we're giving them the context of what mathematics does in the world. So using the computers and using the calculators is a very powerful thing for mathematics. It's not laziness. It's how you hook kids. It's how you get them excited about it.
You're exploiting their natural curiosity.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
And talking about curiosity, if you've ever wanted to learn how to write computer code, you can on a website. Just Google SETN Hour of Code anytime during the next week, beginning on Monday, December 9th.
It just shows you what coding is in a very simple, understandable way. The point is to demystify coding, to help people understand how a computer actually does the things that it does.
And on Saturday, December 14th, the Chattanooga Public Library is hosting a four-hour class on computer coding for children in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. The deadline for registration is next Tuesday, December 10th. Details are on that same website, setnhourofcode.com. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.